going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With the 30th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Maxwell Harrison. Let's go!
I bring juice, I bring being a good teammate, I bring leadership, and I'm going to bring Josh Allen the ball back.
McKinney throws down the middle of the field. Maxwell Harrison, big time pick.
Eludes the pressure and picks it off. A pick six. He eluded the sacks, but Max Hairston's there to take it to the house. 29 yards. Intercepted. It's Hairston again off the carom. Is he going to do it again? Another pick six.
Just a three-man rush for Kentucky. Into traffic, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Maxwell Hairston. And with some running room along the near sideline. And chopped down by Beck inside the 30.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Good morning, Bills Mafia. What's up? Happy Friday. Happy day two of the draft. Hope you enjoyed night one. Jeremy and Joe, Josh Schmidt producing, Owen Parker here as well. We're hanging out. It's a Friday. It's a little rainy. A little bit of rain overnight. Sprinkle.
Yeah. It happens.
It's going to be nice today.
Be a little chillier today than yesterday. Yesterday was amazing, though.
Yesterday was beautiful.
70s and sunny, so...
We're here.
Get some good weather.
To recap the first round. Late night for us at our Resurgence draft party. Thanks to everybody that came out. Thanks to Resurgence for putting it on. We did it. We got a pick in the books.
We got a pick.
We did it. There was some drama.
Yeah.
We wondered if the board was falling in a way the Bills might trade out.
I think once we saw the Giants go up and get Dart, we felt pretty comfortable, though.
That's right. I felt good once the Giants trade. I've never been more happy that the Giants made a trade up with, the Vikings?
Yes.
The Vikings. 25, it was the Rams. No, I don't know, whatever. The Rams got an extra first. I've got a thought on the Falcons trade up, by the way, too. They traded a future first.
To go up and get James Pierce?
Yes.
Okay. That was my guy for the Bills. I mean, I was not ready to see them value him like that.
Yep. There's the player they got, the plan from here, the board, the way that it fell as it went. We've got lots and lots to break down and get to. But the initial, reaction to Max Harrison, Mad Max. He's definitely a fun guy.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Good teammate, I would imagine. I mean, he says he's a good teammate. A lot of good reports about his personality. Gregarious. The clips and the highlights. It might be the thing we remember the most about the draft. This is the polar opposite of Stephon Gilmore. Mm-hmm. And Gilmore, not a bad person, great player, but very stoic, didn't smile upon getting drafted. Famously, Joe, I don't know if you guys are all too young, but Bills fans were upset he didn't look happy.
Yeah.
That was a thing we lived through. This guy is not only happy, he was happy for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Field Yates had the clips, and the clips went out of Harrison celebrating everyone else that got drafted in front of him like it was himself.
Right.
So comes across as a really interesting guy in that department and fun guy. And the Bills have corner two in the first round, which, as we break it down, how the board ultimately went, corner did not come as a surprise once they called the name.
No, I mean, the way it was trending. By the way, like, yeah, like, his personality, I was thinking the whole time as he's up on stage, he gives Goodell a huge, like, hug or whatever, and then he goes over to the camera guy, or to the interviewer, I should say, after, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to get along with Trey White.
Yeah.
This guy's going to get along with Trey White really, really well. But in terms of what that was happening, defensive tackle, if that was your position, like, that was going. But all those guys, Kenneth Grant went way earlier. Maybe not way earlier. There were some mocks that would have had him around there. But I bet the average for him was a little bit lower than 13. Probably 20. It was probably in the 20s, his average mock. And he goes to the Dolphins in number 13. So he's off the board. And you had, obviously, the guy that Sal mocked for the Bills yesterday, Williams from Ohio State. He goes right before the Bills. And Derek Harmon goes. That wasn't there for you. And edge rusher really wasn't, unless you wanted to go Mike Green, but there's been personality stuff with him.
Yep. 10 defensive linemen in the picks before.
10 defensive linemen.
10.
Right. And we know offensively was just not going to be all that likely last night. So the only thing I thought that they could surprise us with when they're up to on the clock, because I thought maybe we thought it'd be Trey Amos.
Yep.
But corner felt like the position, the way the board had fell. The only thing I was wondering that they could surprise us with when they were on the clock was, could this be Emenwori?
Right.
Could this be Nick Emenwori, the big, giant, athletic safety that he was not the first safety picked? The guy we talked a lot about yesterday, Malachi Starks, was.
Which we can get to.
Yeah, he goes to Baltimore.
We did not get to find out if that would have been their pick.
Right, right.
We don't know.
We know, though, Emenwori wouldn't have been their pick.
That's right. Yeah. There are two names that went off the board around them that, again, I'm not even saying they would have. It's just we would have been able to know what the plan was. And that's Starks, and that's also, apologies, Matthew Golden. Like, if Golden had been there, would he have been someone that the Bills would have considered? Because to see some of these names that are still there, this is kind of how I thought it would go. There are some surprises in who went earlier than expected, who went later than expected, all that. And Starks going to the Ravens, did you see it, by the way, immediately afterwards? It was the Ravens have done it again, how they got a perfect player. Also, Howie Roseman has done it again, right? Howie Roseman traded from 32 to 31 for the Eagles. Oh, my God, they got the perfect player. Those two teams, I always get those credits.
The Chiefs should have been criticized last night, by the
way. Trading down with a team that beat them. Don't do it.
These teams. I don't know what they're doing.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it could have been Emenwori. He's still there. We'll get into the second round. The thing about the second round already is what? We're going to talk about defensive tackle for sure.
Yep.
Because if they go into the fourth round needing a defensive tackle, I mean, that feels like people are going to come out of this draft unsatisfied. The number one thing you need, you can't go in the fourth round. So I think they are going to be dug in, locked in to a defensive tackle somewhere here. And we could talk about whether or not they're going to move. The names here are, we know them a little bit less. TJ Sanders, South Carolina. I mean, Shamar Turner, Texas A&M. These are the top guys.
Darius Alexander, although some of these guys are lighter, right? All the three names we just mentioned are all below 305.
Right. Josh Farmer is a guy that's met with the Bills a bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, is it Alfred Collins? He's 332 and 6'6".
What's interesting about this position, though, and this is where I wonder, like, Will they pick a guy? Will they feel like there's somebody in round two that presents a higher skill set than he's just going to eat blocks up for us? Because I heard Sal a little bit on this, I think, in the afternoon show yesterday, that they you want them to go for a one technique defensive tackle. That's the big need with Daquan Jones, who's the only guy on the roster right now for that. But you want a guy that can be more than just stand there and take on the guard in the center, and that's it. Somebody that doesn't have to come off the field on third downs because, all right, it's time to rush the passer, and this dude is a zero in that department, so we're going to take him off the field, and we're going to put like another edge rusher out there or whatever. That's what you would like, but if that guy didn't fall to them and they don't really think that there is a player like that that's available to them in round two, then I would want, I would think that they are ready to just go with what they always do at that position, which is we've got Jones under contract. We will bring in a couple of one-year veteran guys to come fill that space eater role, and we will do what we always do, and we will be probably okay. We'll be okay at that position, as they always are. Last year, they were 10th in rush defense, and they were 4th on first and second downs when those guys were often on the field. So I would be... you're right, though. There will be a reaction to how did you not come away with your biggest need with your top three picks. But I'll feel like I want to defend them and defend the future of that defense without having invested in it if they don't come away with it tonight.
Yep.
If they go wide receiver and, what else would it be? Wide receiver and edge tonight. Sure. If they do that and don't come away with a defensive tackle, I feel like the sky is not falling.
Well, looking at the board, and we'll get your thoughts on Hairston and corner two. Looking at the board now, it's rich with second-round wide receivers. I mean, there's probably about to be a run.
Yeah.
But if you look at the caliber of wide receiver and defensive tackle and defensive end remaining for round two,
mm-hmm.
I think wide receiver is a really nice spot. But
I do, you know, too.
It might get eaten up.
To wrap on that defensive tackle point, by the way, real quick, the one guy that I didn't mention here that I would be thinking about for them tonight is Deion Walker. Kentucky. No, yeah. Another Kentucky guy. They had him in on a top 30 visit. He's the guy who had the back fracture, so there's an injury thing there. But top 30 visit, and he is 6'7", 330.
He's the guy that, when talking about him with Joe Marino Wednesday, said, not a fan. Joe Marino of Locked On Bills, Deion Walker was
not a guy.
Was a stay away from this player pick. We'll see if they do.
Well, they brought him to Buffalo weeks ago, so they didn't completely stay away from him.
There's also Josh Farmer, who Florida State defensive tackle. He's a bigger guy, and he has met with the Bills and said he's met with the Bills a lot. But on Hairston, you know, I've got a couple thoughts on this, and this is not a criticism, but I want to call this what I think it is. This is not a commentary on the success of the player. This is Elam 2.0.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This is a second attempt to get a second corner who is fast. He's your Tyreek Hill, your Jalen Waddle covering corner. I'm not saying skill sets. I'm saying this is the second time they've used a first-round pick on their second corner. Benford's locked up. When they drafted Elam, Trey White was locked up. Like, we know you've got a great one. You're not so desperate at the position. And Bean's talking about Hairston's ability to maybe start this year. If he doesn't start right away, maybe during the year. So if you even want to pencil him in as a starter or get there eventually, he's got to beat out Trey White and he's got to beat out Dane Jackson. We'll see if those guys can still play. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trey's got all the injuries, but is it not? It's corner two in the first with corner one.
Yep.
Very solid. It's a little bit of Elam 2.0.
There are similarities.
And I'm not saying there's a bust. But the other thing about him that's interesting to me is he is in the size percentile. He's a small corner. He's not tall. He doesn't weigh much. His weight was in the 8th percentile is what I think I heard from corners.
Yep.
He's added 9 pounds since the combine, so they're trying to get him to bulk up. But he's a small athletic. His RAS score is off the chart. Well, 9 point whatever. Mm-hmm. He's got a good RAS score. He's small, and he plays an aggressive style.
Yeah.
Aggressive, risk-reward, speedy corner. So it's just, if it works out, great. I don't have any reason to think it won't work. I have no idea if it will work. But, I mean, there are probably going to be repeats along the way if you are the GM and the coach for 20 years. But here's our first, let's try that again. Corner two, first round, I want two good corners on my team. Mm-hmm. Outside corners, two good boundary corners to go with Taron Johnson. I want three good corners on my team.
Yeah, there are definitely similarities. The speed is on that level. The comparison though there for the 40-yard dash, Elam ran a 4.39, Hairston ran a 4.28. So it is another level of speed, at least on that front. Elam was a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. He was 6'2" and had range, right? Or he had like the length. Hairston is definitely small in that regard. The point about the position, I think, is mostly fine. That holds up. Elam, when they drafted him, the only difference would be White was coming off a torn ACL, and we knew he wasn't going to be ready for a while.
Okay.
Right? Like, it was going to be – and how long did it take him? Was it like 8 weeks before he came back? So there was an immediate need, but for the long term, absolutely, that was thought of, okay, this is going to be our corner two when Trey White comes back. The one other – those are little differences. The big difference from what I've seen between these two players is – what they did and how they were used in college. Elam was press coverage, man coverage, very different type of system than what the Bills ran, very different type of usage. You were going to have to teach him some things about the way that the Bills operate, and there was going to maybe be some growing pains about him adjusting to a different type of defense. And I don't know in terms of how similar it is other than zone versus man, but Hairston, according to Sumer Sports' draft guide, ran 79% of the time he was used in zone coverage, which was in the top 15th percentile for all corners in this draft. So that would be, you got a couple little differences between Elam and Hairston. I feel like the big one is Elam was a man corner in college, Hairston was a zone corner in college, which that lines up a little bit better, I think, for a fit with what the Bills like to do typically.
Maybe. There's been a lot of speculation the Bills are about to become more man-heavy, right? They hired the one assistant coach mm-hmm. who's their secondary coach, his name escapes me at the moment, who is supposed to have many more man concepts. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's lots to like about him. I mean, I think there's just lots to like about him. Pick sixes, athleticism, speed. And he does not slot in right away. If you are upset about defensive tackle, the player that they would have picked, had it been a defensive tackle, would have been someone that I want to say no one had in the first round. Nobody left a defensive tackle had I seen mocked in the first round too often. I mean, Tyreek Williams, who the Lions took, a defensive tackle, and he was, for me, often seen as a second-round pick. But, you know, you're picking at the beginning of the first. Brandon Bean did say they had a first-round grade on Max Hairston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you did it. 12 first-round grades, according to Tony Pauline, and a first-round pick, or a first-round grade with the 30th overall pick. They did not move up or down. Did they want to? Quite possibly. I mean,
yeah.
I bet they did. Jadae Barron, we had the report from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. The Bills had been looking to try and get up for Barron, and he got close to trade neighborhood. He got close. He goes ultimately to Denver, 20th overall. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. whatever. It was a fun first round. The surprises came in the form of what? The Jags trade for Travis Hunter. And beyond that, you saw New England. New England, how about this? Here's one thing about the division.
Yeah.
The division ate its vegetables. The division went line.
Yeah.
The whole division went line. Offensive lineman for the Patriots, defensive lineman for the Jets and the Miami,
offensive lineman for the Jets, too.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, offensive lineman for the Jets, defensive lineman for the Dolphins.
So they picked Armon Membo, the tackle from Missouri. And then Kenneth Grant goes to Miami.
The defense, the division ate its vegetables and went trenches. And the Bills probably wanted to go trenches, but ultimately have to go for Hairston because just the way the board fell.
Yeah. Yeah, that there's nothing, like, I kind of feel like New England ending up with a tackle almost feels like a win. Like, even, like, I'm not saying that's a bad pick for them. I think it's a good pick for them for what they need, and protecting Drake May is key. But my favorite or my number one non-Bills thing to happen yesterday was New England not ending up with Travis Hunter.
Right, me too.
So that didn't happen. I feel okay with everything that happened in the division.
Also,
Miami, I saw some Dolphins fans complaining that they went for defensive line instead of offensive line because their whole blueprint, even more now because they've had to say some goodbyes to some pieces, is that quarterback has got to play 17 games. And their line stinks. And they lost Terron Armstead, and they went D-line instead of O-line.
Yeah.
I like the player, but
yes, very much.
I just think that team needed an offensive lineman.
Wanted him for the Bills. That's their last two first-round picks. Chop Robinson was a defensive lineman, first-round pick for them, too. Edge rusher.
Yep.
803-0550. All right, Bills Mafia, wake up. Let's go. It was a late night. I know. We were up late. Was anybody up later than us? Some people. Presumably.
Well, some people stayed at the draft party after we left.
That's
so
right. We left.
Those people. The Eagles, they're probably sleeping right now.
The
so.
Eagles were picking as we showed up or whatever as we left.
They were trading. The Chiefs were trading down as we
spot.
Yeah,
one spot
for a fifth round pick.
Yeah,
it's a weird one.
It always is strange to trade down one spot.
Are you doing that because somebody else was coming up to take that? And so hey, this team's offering a third or this team's offering a fourth for us to move down four spots. They might be taking the player you want, so we'll move down one spot for a fifth instead. How about that? I'm just guessing at how that could have gone, because otherwise it's weird.
They took a tackle. They took an offensive lineman. The Chiefs.
Yeah, Josh Simmons, who's got injury problems.
He does. Before the injury, I saw some of the reviews of him. He had the best tape of any offensive lineman, but the injury issue is a major concern. Some teams are... I'm sorry, it was the opposite of that. It was that maturity and character concerns.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was for him. The teams liked him a lot, but there was a lot on that. The funniest thing that happened, so we got a lot of memes. Roger Goodell rode in on a bike. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
We had a baby throwing up.
Yep, that happened.
And perhaps the funniest thing wasn't on the television. Marcel Louis Jacques tweeted this out. After the Dolphins drafted Kenneth Grant, the defensive lineman, Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, told the media that after he drafted Kenneth Grant, his phone blew up with other GMs saying, "Oh, you got my guy."
Mm.
Objectively hilarious to make that claim. Oh, yeah, everybody immediately said, "I got their guy." What is this, your fantasy football draft? And you claim someone, "Oh, I like that pick, man. I was about to take that guy."
Yeah. Also, who was texting him that? Were the GMs that were picking, if it was even true, were the GMs at was Brandon Bean texting him that? Because that's not, I mean, it is complimentary, but it also isn't. Like, oh, the GM that thought he was getting him at 30 is mad that you took this guy at 13.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, right, I pick 12th in my fantasy league, and like, oh, I really want Brian Thomas Jr. And the guy at number 2 overall takes Brian Thomas Jr. Like, oh, you got my guy. Doesn't mean it was a good pick. Yeah, that's an outrageous claim.
It's a funny one
to make.
803-0550.
More outrageous than every GM in the league saying that they had a first-round grade on the guy. Right?
Yeah, right.
Pretty much is what happened.
We'll get your calls in. Sal at 7. We don't have to have the safety conversation. We watched them draft a corner, but the safety... I think the safety that would have been in the mix was gone to Baltimore. And wide receiver, listen, here's the question for today. Defensive tackle, defensive end, wide receiver. You get to fill 2 or 3. Most would agree those are the 3, right? What's next after that? I mean, safety could be there.
Yeah.
But defensive tackle, defensive end, wide receiver. Which pairing would you be aiming for with the Bills tonight? I'm putting up a Twitter poll on that. Yeah. See what comes in. Basically, it's another way to ask, which of the three positions are you leaving out?
Right. Which one are you okay punting to the fourth round?
Me, defensive end. Hmm. You want to talk about things they were not bad at last year? They were not bad at rushing the passer. You'd like to point out their run game metrics? They were not a bad pass rush team.
Well, if I could, you're right. They weren't a bad pass rushing team. Their number one pass rusher by pass rush win rate is no longer on the team, though.
That's true.
Von Miller had almost a 20% win rate, and that was, I think, more than 5% better than any other Bill last year.
But they added two players to try to fill that role.
Yeah, that's right.
In Michael Hoyt and Joey Bosa. They have four pass rushers who play the position today. And I just think they need a little help at receiver, like they always do.
I'm in on the Jack Besh is going to be my guy for tonight from TCU. But there are still some good receivers left. But if it's going to come down to edge versus tackle for me, it's
probably not. Well, here I'll make it the early results on the poll.
Yeah,
both defensive tackle pairings are tied and winning.
Yeah,
and wide receiver DE. So we'll find out which one ultimately finishes in third place here.
Yeah,
but there will be a defensive tackle. I think it'll be hard to imagine how there won't be. I wonder if they'll trade up and use a fourth-round pick or a fourth and a fifth to move up. Their 2 seconds are too much to move anywhere. It's not like you could package your 2 seconds for the first pick today. You would actually need something back. So, I mean, I guess they could pick anywhere in the second round they want to if they want to package those twos. 803-0550. All right, we'll get a break in. Sal, coming up, top of the hour. Howard Simon. Howard Simon.
Yes.
8 o'clock.
He was everywhere last night.
He showed up last night. He was everywhere. He's always everywhere. He showed up last night. Good to see Howard. We're not going to make him pick the Bills, folks. We're not going to do that yet. Maybe, you know, right after the full draft. But just talk to him about the picks and how he liked the first round. What about round two? 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a ring. Jeremy and Joe, Josh and Owen here as well. We're hanging out. We're going to recap the draft party. You know, friends were made. Enemies were made. Not really. We had a good time. And we're at Wayland tonight. No ticket.
Yeah.
No ticket needed. See you at Wayland. Come on out. Draft party, round two. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.